We are going to continue the message from this morning. To truly live a spiritual life, we need to have spiritual balance. We need to have relational balance and financial balance. We need to be able to have physical balance and emotional balance. That is many times very hard to do because as we grow in our faith, as we focus on an area of our life, many times our focus is taken off of something else, and it feels like we have to be multi-managers of different things in our lives going on at the same time. That's really not true if we can think about focusing our main focus on God and keeping our spiritual balance where it needs to be. When we look at physical balance, God wants us to realize that we cannot compartmentalize any one area of our life and say, okay, I'm going to be focused on this, but I'm going to let that go. That's not important. It's not important that I have physical balance or financial balance or relational balance or emotional balance. I'm just going to focus on spiritual balance. That's what God truly wants, and that's not the case. God wants us to have a wholesomeness. He wants us to be whole because that's how he created us. When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, because of their sin, they became incomplete. They became unbalanced. They were not able to fellowship with God. They were not able to be with him without feeling shame. And because they had sinned, God had to slay an animal in order to cover them. But all that was doing was taking care of the result of the sin rather than the cause of the sin. It merely dealt with the symptom rather than the initial cause. So God, in his infinite mercy, sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for us, that through his death, that sin debt would be paid, and we would then be justified through the resurrection. As Christ rose out of that grave, so we rise out of that deadness. So when we accept Christ as our personal Savior, that which was dead is now alive. We spoke this morning that we cannot compartmentalize, that our entire life is connected. We also shared that we are a whole person. And I used Romans chapter 12, verse 1, which says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto me, which is your reasonable service. Tonight, we're going to continue with that thought. And so I want us to see that we are indeed a body, soul, and spirit. Now, I may have said that differently. Yeah, we have a spirit, soul, and body. And I want to focus on Romans chapter 12, verse 2. He says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that which is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. He said, I want you to present your bodies a living sacrifice, but be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. See, our mind controls a lot of things. Amen? Our mind can control our will. It can control our emotions. It can control us physically. It can control us financially. It's with our mind that we make good decisions so that we can not make a bad decision and then make another bad decision and bad decision, and it just continues to go on and go on and go on. And that's many times what happens in life when we make a bad decision. It's hard to reverse that. So Paul is telling the church the way that you become balanced is to allow your mind to be renewed. That way you can prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Isn't that really what we try to achieve throughout our life? Is to know that we're pleasing God. We know that we're doing what God desires. We know that we're walking the path that God has chosen for us. So the only way we can do that is through a renewing, transforming process of having our mind transformed into the mind of Christ. Paul said, "Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus." That word "let" is the largest word in that verse, because we have the ability to let the mind, our mind, be the same as Christ Jesus, or we have the ability to not let. So Paul is telling the church that we need to have a renewed mind, to not be like the world. Don't think like the world, because they like to compartmentalize everything. They would have us to believe that our faith is something that we only do on Sundays, and when we go to work on Sunday, we leave our Christian faith at home. That's not what Jesus wants. The first thing that I believe God wants to show us tonight is the fact that the present life is devalued. Present life as we know it is devalued each and every day. The sanctity and dignity of human life is being constantly devalued. They would have us to believe that we are merely a blob of human matter. And that's not true. We are not just merely a blob of human matter. We are not just a clump of cells. There is something that is so unique, something that is so great, to see God's handiwork at hand when a baby is born, when you see and look at nature, how nature is constantly being regenerated all the time. When you see God's handiwork in nature and you see God's handiwork in our lives, how can we possibly think that we should leave our faith behind when we go to work on Monday morning? See, we are different than the apes because we have this. You know what that is? It's not a disposable thumb. It's an opposable thumb. That's the difference. We can do this, and they can't. There is something unique about the way we are formed in our mother's womb. There's a uniqueness that occurs in birth itself. When we look at how unique and intricate we truly are, we can see that we're not just a clump of cells. But if we believe like the world believes, that before birth, a fetus is just a lump of cells. A fetus is just a blob of human matter, then it really doesn't matter if you abort that or not. Go to the picture, the blue one, if you would, please. That, I don't know if you can see that very well. That is Matthew, our Matthew. Over a year ago when he was born, if you look at my finger, there's that much of my finger that Matthew's hanging on to with his little fingers. And he's got his little fingers wrapped around my finger. That's very unique. That's intricate. And then to feel him grab onto my finger, I have a video on my phone where you can see his little hand moving and grasping my finger. That isn't done if he's a human blob of matter. But there are lots of babies that are aborted at that stage, 6 months old. Now they're even wanting to do it up to and right after birth. It's murder. Because we are a spirit, a soul, and a body made in the image of God. Yes, we are incomplete. We're born with a dead spirit. But through Christ, that spirit comes alive. Presently, life is devalued. Look at the next picture. That's Matthew on the left. Without God's intervention and the marvel of medicine, those two boys would not have been with us. Yet the doctor, when Danielle was in the hospital in St. Louis, and you all remember that trying time in our family, the doctor would come in and ask her, "Are you sure you don't want these babies aborted? They're probably not going to make it, and that would be the best thing for you and for them." These are God's little gifts to us. We are more than a blob of human matter, and therefore there should be value. God has placed a value on our lives, and he loves us so much and he values us so much that he would send Jesus all the way from heaven to be sacrificed in our place so that we could be made whole. That's the purpose. You can go back to the outline. They just celebrated a month ago their 1 year birthday. Of course, genetically, gestationally, I should say, they're only 9 months old because they were born 3 months premature, actually 13 weeks premature. Without God's intervention, that little hand that grasped my finger would not be here today. That's how unique and how vital they are within the mother's womb. There is a uniqueness that they have. I used to, because my arm was long and skinny, I don't want this to gross anybody out, I used to help sows, I used to help cows, I used to help horses give birth to their young. And that meant that I had to go in after them to you know, apply a little pressure and to help them to be delivered. And it's amazing on both cows and horses. I have had the little colt or the little calf suck on my finger, yet inside mama's womb. And if that's not unique, that's what God does. We are more than a human blob of matter. We are special because we have a spirit, a soul, and a body. Secondly, Paul says there's a transformation by renewing our mind. There is a progressive change that takes place in our life. Guess what? I'm different today than what I was last year. I'm different now than I was 5 years ago and 10 years ago. I'm different, not just because I've gotten older, but there has been a progressive change that has been taking place in my life. There's a progressive change that takes place in your life. And this change is something that God is doing because he wants us to be Christ-like. He wants us to be little Christs. That's what Christians are to be. Little Christs in the world, but not of the world. We are to be in the world so that we are a picture for the people we work with, for the people we live by, of what Christ truly is supposed to be like. That's why God wants us to have balance. Because it's through that transformation process where our minds are renewed that it affects every area of our life. It affects us spiritually, relationally. It affects us financially and physically, as well as emotionally. God wants us to be whole. And the way he does that is by indwelling us with the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. And now the Holy Spirit can speak to us and help us to understand God's ways, because the Holy Spirit speaks truth to us. And therefore, when we come to him in prayer, he is the one that prompts us to ask for forgiveness. He is the one that leads us when we're wanting and needing God's direction. So it's a transformation process that takes place in our life. But we have four problems. We have four problems. First of all, we have a mind problem. We have a will problem. We have an emotion problem. And we have a body problem. When we look at those four problems, the answer is the renewing of the mind. Because the renewing of the mind is what controls the will. It's the renewing of the mind that controls the emotion. It's the renewing of the mind that controls the body. It's the renewing of the mind that allows us to have the mind of Christ, so that we can truly discern the good and pleasant and perfect will of God. You've heard me speak before of me working at Gold's Gym. That I was a trainer for Gold's Gym, and I was the actual poster boy for Gold's Gym. And I know that many of you might think, well, that's, you know, he can say that, but what proof does he have? Well, tonight, come here. That's the poster. And that's me. Not no more. I'm more like this guy here. That's me, day zero at 274 pounds. And then the next picture is me at 244 pounds 30 days later. And the next picture is me at 60 days at 222 pounds. And then that's me at day 90 at 202 pounds. That's 72 pounds in 90 days. I was the poster child for Gold's Gym. Now, the reason why I bring that out tonight and show you is because it requires discipline. Physical balance begins with discipline. I used to have a war going on in my body all the time. You guys experience the war on a daily basis. When your stomach growls and it says, it's time to feed me. It says, it's time to feed me, and we just kind of, okay, fine, I'll go out and get a couple cookies. Or I'll go and eat some chips. Or I'll go and do this. I got to a point that I would not allow my body to rule, but I would only allow my mind to rule. If it was time to eat, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to feed you. I almost had to separate myself from my mind and my body. I know this is getting way out there for a lot of you, right? But I had to separate the way I think about myself so that when my stomach would growl, it's like, shut up. I'm not going to feed you right now. Or if somebody would say, hey, you want a candy bar? It's like, no, I don't want one. Because my mind was controlling everything. My mind is what was governing me. It was through the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit that was had moved in my life in such a way and gave me the instruction to do that. I did not starve myself. I was actually eating more calories. I was eating 5 times a day, but I was eating the right foods. And when you eat all the time, your body is in a constant digestive process. And when you're in a constant digestive process, your body is burning calories. If you want to fill your body up with negative calories, you can. And negative calories are things like green beans. You can eat green beans all day long because there's more of a caloric outgo digesting the green beans than there is on the input side. That's why they call them a negative caloric food. Same thing with cauliflower. The reason why I share that is because to have physical balance, it requires discipline. I had to remove myself from allowing my body to control me. When I was hungry, my body would growl, my stomach would growl, and so I automatically would eat something. But I didn't do it then. I controlled what I fed my monster. I controlled what I put in this mouth. Matter of fact, to the point that I would write down everything that I consumed and how much and what the calories were, so I knew exactly what the caloric intake was of that day. And because I was exercising and burning a lot of calories through exercising, I knew I had a negative caloric day. And when you burn more than what you put in, guess what? It's not rocket science. You lose weight. Physical balance requires discipline. We have disciplines in our lives for our spiritual walk. We have disciplines in our lives to where we're going to sit down, we're going to spend time with God, we're going to pray, we're going to read the Word, we're going to journal, we're going to write down the things that God is saying to us. We have spiritual disciplines that we use. All I'm saying is for a physical balance to take place, we need to use that same mentality and that same discipline. And we can physically be the person that God wants us to be. This morning I spoke about living paycheck to paycheck, having a brake problem in your vehicle, and now you don't have the money to pay for it because you've wasted money along the line and your emotions are right on edge. And when one of your loved ones comes and speaks to you, you bite their head off. And because of that, you don't want to spend time with God because he's going to remind you that you need to go to them and say, you're sorry. So all of this has happened because we're the brake job, because the vehicle needed to have brakes. And the problem was we didn't have any savings set back so that we could take care of that problem. Every area of our life affects the other areas. And when we don't have physical balance, that is a problem. It's a problem in our spiritual walk. It's a problem in our relationships. It's a problem with our finances. It's a problem with us emotionally. There are individuals, myself included, that take comfort in the food they eat. Are you guys out there yet? You're not going to stone me, right? Okay. They take comfort in the food they eat. They eat food for comfort. When they feel bad, they eat. And the problem with that is it's a direct reflection of their spiritual walk, their relationships that they're in, their finances, their emotions. It's a direct correlation, because one area cannot reside by itself without affecting the others. That's why physical balance requires discipline. It requires you basically saying, hey, I'm going to make a change in my life. I'm going to allow Christ to rule in my life. You know, they didn't have the problems, the diseases that we have today, years ago, even 75, 80 years ago. They didn't have those problems. They didn't have near the diabetic problem that is in our states today, that's in our country today. Why? Because most farming, most everything was done farming, or it was industrial. Before that, you walked to town or you rode your horse. You were very physical 80 years, 100 years ago. And because of that, guess what? The blood sugars were fine. I know Friday nights, I can eat more sweets on Friday nights. Why? Because I have mowed my yard on Friday. That's the fact. When I mow my yard, my blood sugar goes way down because I'm walking, I'm working. It's the exercise that does it. And that's why I'm no longer debating. I'm just going to do it. I'm going to go start working out again so that I can physically be the person that God wants me to be, because I'm about 40 pounds overweight. I need to be down around 220 instead of 260. And God doesn't need all this. Neither do I. I need to be able to play with my grandchildren and be able to run. I need to be the person that God wants me to be, and to be physically balanced requires discipline. It requires the same discipline that we use to be spiritually balanced. It requires the same discipline that you use to be financially balanced. When you know you have X amount of money and you've got X amount of bills, you're not going to go out and buy something that blows your entire budget. So I can't pay the rent, and I can't pay the electric bill. I guess they're just going to come take the house and shut my electricity off. No. It requires discipline. So you refrain from doing those things because you can't afford them at this time. It requires discipline. Same discipline physically is to say, no, I don't need to eat right now. That should be an alarm bell that God is using, saying, you need to come to me. You need to come and be with me and spend time with me. I am the one that can give you the peace that passes all human understanding. I'm the one that can give you joy in the midst of all this travail. You need to come to me and use those things as an alarm bell, so that Satan is not ruling in our lives and that our physical life is just as disciplined as the other areas of our life. In closing, when we look at the transformation process, Paul says, and be not conformed to this world. What is our world truly saying to us? Our world says, have it your way right away. Amen? That's what the world says. You don't have to wait. You can have it your way right away. Today, Kathy and I went to a restaurant. And what do they basically say the first thing they see you? They say, how many, right? Two. And then they ask you another question. Do you want a booth or a table? And we said a booth, and he looks at this chart. He says, we don't have any available right now. It's like, Okay. So he says, I can seat you at a table right there. Okay, fine. So we walk to the table. I don't even sit down. I just continue to walk and go to the bathroom because I want to wash my hands. And I walk by two open booths, cleaned, ready for people to sit. So what did I think? I wasn't happy, but I didn't say anything until I paid the bill and was able to type in the comments. The thing is, we're either going to be the people that God wants us to be, or we're not. We're going to be the good stewards that God wants us to be, or we're not. And he's given us this body. He's given us this body, and we need to manage it. We need to take care of it. I don't know if these places just see me coming and they want to aggravate me. That's got to be it. Saturday morning, I go to McDonald's. I'm on my way over to Danielle and Aaron's. I got to do some stuff over there. So I slept a little longer than I needed to, feed the dog, hurry up, get dressed, go pick up get a couple sausage biscuit with egg, and away I go. So I walk in, and I've had this happen over and over and over again. And I'll walk up, and the lady is not looking at me. She's looking down at her thing. Young girl. And I'll just stand there, and she'll go, yep, what do you want? And I'll wait till she lifts her head to look at me, making eye contact with me so that she understands what I'm wanting. It's nothing abnormal. I hold up two fingers. I say, I want two sausage biscuit with egg and cheese to go. She looks back down, and she looks back up, and she says, and how many did you want? I want two sausage biscuit with egg and cheese to go. Okay, you want two sausage biscuit with egg. I said, yes, and cheese. Okay. Doop, 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 doop. And did you want that for here or to go? I want it to go, please. Did you want any coffee with that? No, I'm good. I just want two sausage biscuit with egg and cheese to go. So I pay my bill. They give me the thing. I move over. I'm waiting for it. I get it. The lady brings it out, and she says, here's your two sausage biscuit with egg. It's like, that's supposed to have cheese on it. She says, oh, we can add that, but it'll be an extra charge. I said, no, that'll be fine. Thank you. And I went out to my truck going, why? When people are there to serve, what kind of a reflection is she to McDonald's? What kind of a reflection is that individual to Applebee's? What kind of a reflection are they to their Lord, to the one that's paying their bills, the paying their wage? What kind of a reflection are they? I want to throw up all the red flags and go, stop. What are you doing? You know, when someone talks to you, you need to listen. That's the way God is with us. Hear me. How many times have we come to him and he tell us, I want two sausage biscuit with egg and cheese. And we go, how many did you want? We do that with God. Because we're truly not listening. We're not in tuned to him. He has given us everything. And he wants us to be whole so that we can, all of us, so that all of us together can worship him in such a magnificent way because of who he is and all he has done. God is wanting us to sit up and pay attention and to take note of what his desire is for us, because he wants what's best, amen? He wants what's best for our lives as well as for his kingdom. That's why God is so lenient. God is so gracious. I know that when I don't listen, he tells me and he tells me and he tells me. And if I still don't listen, guess what? He allows something to come into my life to get my attention. And that's what happens in your life as well. We cannot go through life just making corrections. We have to start going through life being intentional. And because we are intentional, we can have balance in our lives. And Paul says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto me, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that which is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's what God wants. He wants us to be so whole, so balanced, that we have the mind of Christ. And as our minds are renewed, he is the one that is controlling us. And so it controls our will. It controls our emotion. It controls our body. So that just because I don't feel good about something, I don't have to put something in my mouth. I don't have to be eating to get comfort. I don't have to do things that's going to derelict my duty to what he has given me, because he's given me a body so that I can be a whole person, the person that he's created us to be. And when we have that renewing of the mind, that now gives us the ability. It doesn't make us balanced. It gives us the ability to be balanced. See, I'm really not that interested in baseball, but I can pick up a ball and throw it. I have the ability to do that. But that doesn't mean that I'm going to do that. Being balanced doesn't make us in tune with God. It gives us the ability to be in tune with him and to be the individuals that he's created us to be. Therefore, when we care for each area of our life and see each area of our life, we will be living fully. And we can be those individuals that are intentional about the other areas of our lives, even the physical area of our life. Let's be dismissed. Father God, we thank you. We thank you, Father, that you want what is best for us, and that you desire for us to be whole, that you desire every area of our life to be surrendered to you. And we thank you for the Apostle Paul and his writing. And Father, we pray that as we go through this segment, this series, that we will see the things in our lives that need to change, and that we will truly listen to what you have to say, so that we can be those individuals that are balanced, that have the ability to know your good and perfect will. And we thank you now and pray that you will dismiss us with your grace and mercy. In Jesus' name, amen.